Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now. We'll be glad to address your question or offer direction for the difficult, frustrating issues of real life. Call now, 844-32-BASIC. The lines are wide open. We await hearing from you. 844-32-BASIC. The phone number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. And Andrew, welcome to the broadcast today. Certainly glad to have you with us.
Hey, thanks, guys. Great to be here.
Indeed. Well, Jesus Christ is alive. That's the good news. And what a way to start the new year with really focusing on that. And this life, this new life that he has given to us is fully experienced in this new covenant. And we've been talking about the new covenant this week, the fact that the death of Jesus Christ was the place and the time when this new covenant went into effect. It was the time that the old covenant was fulfilled in its entirety, and now a new covenant. And it's this new covenant that we rely upon, that we live in. And it's a covenant that's much better than the old covenant. It's built on better promises. It has a better guarantee. And it was brought into existence by a better person. In Jesus Christ. But there is a question that I think arises when we talk about the new and we relate it back to the old. If there was a covenant already in place, what was the reason for a new covenant? Why did God had to bring this new covenant into being?
Yeah, and you know what the scripture tells us is that God found fault with the people. It wasn't that he found fault with the covenant. There's nothing wrong with the law. In fact, everything's right about it. I mean, it's perfect, it's holy, it's good. But the problem was you put anybody like you or me under the law, and God is going to find fault with us. So it's interesting, Bob, that the real problem was not the law, it was the people. And so under the new covenant, it's like God had to rig everything. He said, you know, if you're going to be the problem here, then I'm going to rig it so that you never mess this thing up. And so he rigs it. He says, you'll all know me from the least to the greatest. That means it's not going to be about striving to know me, but you'll all get to know me. And I'm going to remember your sins no more. It's not like he's a forgetful old man here who's misplaced his keys or something. It's just that he's chosen not to remember our sins, and he's released us. So,
are you talking about Richard and Bob Davis?
What?
On that?
Just Richard. Right.
I'm looking everywhere.
Oh, my. But yeah, this new covenant is so wonderful and so fantastic. And just the more you know about it, the you know, more exciting it is to live in this new covenant, and the further and further away you get from that human effort and that striving and that trying to earn and achieve and do more and be more, and you know, all the things that most believers kind of you know, rely upon. But once you're in this new covenant, those things start to fade away. And that's one of the promises of the new covenant,
yes.
Isn't it? That we have this new covenant, the old is gone, and it's aging, and it's going to soon disappear. And we have some incredible analogies for that one, don't we, Andrew?
Yeah, you just think all about how the law is a shadow, and if you were going to look at the shadow of a tree, you can kind of get the height of the tree. You can calculate it pretty close. You can get the shape of the tree using the shadow on the ground roughly. But still, it's not the tree. It's just a shadow of the tree. It's not the reality. It's just a shadow of it. And so the Bible says that the law is nothing but a shadow, and that the reality is Christ. And that shadow for us is now in the past. I mean, we're dead to the shadow, and we're alive to the reality. So it's amazing, Bob, that, you know, we have to, for 2,000 years and then some, we have to spend our days reminding each other of what it means to be alive to the new covenant and dead to the law, because we forget.
Yes, indeed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Plenty of open lines. We'd love to hear from you. That number, 844-32-BASIC. The lines are wide open right now. Plenty of opportunity. If you do call in and allow the guys to address your question or your particular issue on this edition, again, 844-32-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Calgary and talk with Miles, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Miles.
Good afternoon, fellows.
Hi there.
The question I have, Bob, I'm recently enjoying your CDs on the topic money, and in it you say, you know, when you have problems in this world, follow the money. And you state, it is not the amount of money, it is who controls it and what it is used for. And I was thinking in the context of not being unequally yoked, would you recommend or do you know of anyone who's ever questioned before taking a job from an employer to ask what is their worldview?
Well, it's a good question, Miles. I think as far as that passage about not being unequally yoked, we're really talking about partnership. So if you're interested in going into business with another person, you want to be on the same page with that person. And so I think a discussion about, you know, beliefs and faith and relationship with the Lord and those sort of things are appropriate. As far as a company out there that is offering you a job that wants to pay you money in exchange for the skills that you can bring to the table to help improve that company's bottom line, I think that's a little different situation. But I think once you're hired, if you want to have a conversation with your boss over lunch and just talk about personal things and what their belief system is, I think that's A-okay.
That's good advice, you know. And I think in this day and age, as employees, at some point in time, we should be asking our companies, you know, as you said, what is their perspective? Because it does seem in our world that the only thing that seems to be politically correct is let's make money. And I think that's, as you say in your CDs, the root of a lot of our evil.
Well, the love of it certainly is, Richard.
Yeah. One of the pieces of good news about many companies these days is that they publish enough information about themselves that you can get an idea of what their worldview is before you ever apply. And that, I think, would be a wise way to pick and choose among the various companies available if they have an opening. Because, you know, it can be a tough issue. With me, at one time, I was pretty much in alignment with what was the at least practiced worldview of a company. But over time, that changed. And now their worldview and my worldview were different, and I could make an informed decision. But, you know, most good companies will freely advertise what their belief systems are, how they believe in treating people, even their political views. You can suss that out by just checking their public statements.
Great. Well, guys, it's that time again for me to send in my little token of appreciation, my heart medicine payment, as I say, and wish you all the best.
Well, thank you, Miles. Thank you. We sure appreciate it. Thanks for your call today.
Yeah, plenty of open lines again, 844-32-BASIC.
Well, from Calgary, Canada, to across the pond to London, England, to talk with Saab. Hi, Saab.
Hi, Bob, and Dave again.
Hi there.
Today I just want to talk about Holy Spirit. So could you explain to me Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a person, right? Is it Jesus Christ? Is that right?
Yes. In fact, one time Paul calls him the Spirit of Christ, Saab. So, you know, basically we're seeing Christ Jesus in spiritual form. We've got a triune God, a God of three parts, so three in one. And so certainly when Paul calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Christ, we're going to see the nature of Christ, the fruit of who Christ is, the personality of Christ. All that he is embodied in the Holy Spirit. And that's how we have Christ in us. We have Christ in us because of the Holy Spirit. Does that help?
Yes. So, Holy Spirit is, I mean, we can say Holy Spirit is Jesus, right?
Yes, Paul calls him the Spirit of Christ, yes.
Oh, the Spirit of Christ, okay. Which verse is that? Where is that, Spirit of Christ?
I believe that's in Romans. Bob, do you remember?
I think it's Romans 8:9, where it talks about if you don't have the Spirit of Christ living in you, that you do not belong to God. So a believer is indwelt by the Spirit. So the definition of a believer in Christ is someone in whom the Spirit dwells or lives. If somebody does not have the Spirit of God, they're not a believer. They have not been born again into the kingdom.
Right. So, Oh, that's what I mean. Then, if we do sin against Holy Spirit, that means if we deny Jesus Christ, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, when Hebrews says that the Holy Spirit also testifies that He remembers your sins no more, we as Christians don't have to worry about sinning against the Holy Spirit in the sense that He would hold anything against us. The Holy Spirit is not holding any sin against us as believers. But you're right, Sob, that there are people who reject the Holy Spirit, and when He knocks on the door of their lives, they don't accept Him. They don't allow Him to come in and live with them. And so rejecting the gospel is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Rejecting the gospel would be how we would sin against the Holy Spirit, and that would have eternal consequences. But for a Christian, in the book of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit testifies that He remembers our sins no more. So that's good news for us.
Thank you. Yeah, I got it now. Thank you, Andrew.
All right. Awesome.
Sob, thanks for your call, as always.
As
we sure
always,
love
yes.
hearing from you.
Yeah.
God bless you, my friend.
Yeah.
Indeed. 844-32-BASIC. That's the number. We have plenty of time remaining on the clock. Want to hear from you. 844-32-BASIC. Guys, we have a wonderful opportunity for our listeners in Northern California and basically anywhere in California or across the country who want to come and join us to come and visit with us in our tour called Hear It, Believe It, Live It, coming up at Valley Church in Vacaville, California, Saturday, March 7th. One of the things that the question that's posed is, have you ever wondered if Jesus Christ has any relevance in your life today? Does He care about your personal life, your marriage, your family, or your vocation? And, of course, we were just talking about those things just now. Not only does the gospel rewrite the story of your eternal destiny, it can rewrite the story of your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. The tour will show you how. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, the dates of that are March 7th out in Vacaville, California at the Valley Church. Jeremy White is the pastor there. Andrew, Jeremy's a good friend of yours. You've been out there and spoken at his church a number of times, and we're looking forward to being out there March the 7th. If you would like to come and join us and participate with that, all the information on how you can register is at basicgospel.net.
Yes.
And we would love to have you out there March 7th.
Yeah, the events link in the menu, that's where you'll find the information. March 7th, as Bob said, it's going to be a great time. Hear it, believe it, live it. The tour starts in Vacaville. Well, again, 844-32-BASIC, that's the number. Time on the clock. And guys, had a question. A little bit of a new twist on this one. This is from Lana, who lives in Long Beach, California. She says, the covenant spoken of by Jeremiah in 31:31-33, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Lana says, this is for the Jewish people and has not happened yet. Please explain the new covenant for the church and how it differs from the new covenant for the people of Israel. Aren't we ministers of the new covenant to the people of Israel?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 helps us with this, Bob. I mean, it's written to Greek people, and Paul says that he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. So, you know, it is the same new covenant. It's the entire reason it's called new is because it's new to Israel. It's not really new to us in the sense that we didn't have an old covenant. Gentiles had no hope, no God, We were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, Ephesians says, so we had no covenant at all. But for the Jews, it is a new covenant. But still, as Gentiles, you could say that we are grafted in. We're included in this. We have an opportunity to come to the table and eat the same food and drink the same spiritual drink, and that is Christ. So we're joined by one Spirit and one God and one new covenant. So in Jeremiah there, in chapter 31, we've got this prophecy about the new covenant, but that new covenant starts at the cross. As Basic Gospel's been talking about all week here, it starts at the cross, and that's when it started for the Jew, and that's when it also started for the Gentile. And that's why Paul can tell the Corinthian believers, hey, you guys, you Greeks over there, you are ministers of this new covenant. And now whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, whether they're Jew or Gentile. The hope is in one God and in one covenant.
Lana, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you. And friends, we love hearing from you by email. If you have a question, pose it to us. You'll find the link at basicgospel.net.
Let's go to Roseville Village, New York, and talk with Joshua, listening to us on WMCA. Did I say that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
How can we help Praise you today? Thank you.
Well, two things. I was listening to when you, well, one, I want to recommend listenbible.com. I'm a pastor, and I'm trying to inspire everybody to put up billboards reading the Bible in every language of the world. And you can use a projector. I do it currently in my neighborhood, and it's a great ministry tool. And it lines up, too, with Revelation 14:6. You guys do the radios. TBN does the satellites. But I think churches, people can use projectors to display the Bible on public walls. In fact, in Deuteronomy 11, I think it talks about when we put the scriptures on our doorposts everywhere, we'll have the days of heaven on earth. I'm just trying to
get the word out. Inspire people to get the word out. Okay. Well, did you have a question today?
Well, by the way, it's free, and it's at listenbible.com. You were talking about writing the new covenant. The new covenant. He'll write his laws on our hearts and our minds. Now, if we look in Ezekiel 9:4, the Lord was about to execute judgment. And he's going to start with the church first. And he sent a man with the inkhorn to go and write in the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry for the abominations in the land.
Well, he wasn't going to start with the church first because the church didn't exist back then. He was going to start with the people
synagogue.
Of Israel, the priests. The priests.
It's a synagogue, so that's the church first. And he said he write in their foreheads. Revelation 3:12, he says, "He that overcometh shall go no more out. I'll make him a pillar."
So I want to know what's your question there. What question do you have that we can actually discuss?
Well, I'm trying to share a revelation, but I'm making sure that I'm sharing it with scripture, because when we talk about God writing on us, I believe we've just tipped the surface of what it is. There's a seal in the forehead in Revelation 7:4, Revelation 9:4, Revelation 22:4. And all I'm trying to say is the church right now is praying houses, cars, money, but we need to be praying for the seal of God. And there is a lot of, it's almost a hidden message. And if you look at Revelation 3:12, he shall write upon you my name, my new name, and the name of the city.
Well, let me point you to a passage, and just want to encourage you to read this and look at it and find out or kind of think through it, think what it means to you. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's talking about writing, It says, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. This great message of the new covenant is about the Holy Spirit writing on our hearts His life, His love, His grace, His mercy. That's the stuff that the world needs to know, and we are a part of that story through faith in Christ. And that's, Andrew, that's one of the great blessings of this new covenant, isn't it? The fact that God has written something inside of us. It's an internal transformation that takes place, an inside out reality.
Yeah, and you know, when the caller was talking about getting a seal or finding a seal, it reminded me of the fact that we've already been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We've been sealed until the day of redemption. So to me, that spiritual sealing that God has already done in our hearts is an indication that we have such an incredible security that's so long-lasting. And, you know, I know a lot of folks, Bob, sometimes they'll want to jump on a radio program and advertise a website and stuff. And I looked over the site, and I can't really recommend it. I don't know what's on it for sure, but it's got some strange things on it. People sometimes want to use airtime for their own purposes. But you've pointed out the right perspective here, and that is that the finished work of Christ is what it's all about, and that's why we have our security and our rest in Him.
Andrew, as a member of the board of directors, Bob and Richard and I and all the staff appreciate so much your input along with the other board members. Would you share with our listeners what you see as the importance of supporting a ministry such as Basic Gospel?
Yeah, well, you know, I've known this ministry for a couple of decades now. In fact, more than 20 years. I've known you guys and have been to the events that you've hosted. And really, I would say, you know, to the listeners, how many ministries can you count that always bring you back to the work of Jesus Christ, to His identity, to the sufficiency of Jesus to meet your every need? You know, how many ministries can you point to that are always using Scripture when they provide answers for questions about daily living? And how many ministries do you know of that really have a grasp on the grace of God? And they're not busy just judging people, but instead they're busy pointing people to Jesus. We all need a Savior, but more than that, we don't just need a new destination. We need a Jesus who has answers for right now. And that's what I love about Basic Gospel, is that you're bringing, you know, every single time we talk with callers, we're wanting to urge them to look to Jesus and only to Him. So that's why I support Basic Gospel, and I hope that the listeners out there will too. And you might think that your gift won't be very big if it's only $5 a month or $20 a month or $50 a month. You might think that doesn't make a big difference, but it does. There's enough listeners out there that if we all banded together, it would make a huge difference. So thank you in advance for supporting Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed, friends. And if you agree that Basic Gospel is worthy of support, we encourage you to go online today if possible and click the support link right at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or call and speak with our operator, Billy, at 844-41-BASIC. That number, 844-41-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob, and thanks, Andrew, for those kind words. And as we close the broadcast today, just a reminder of what we've been talking about all week, and it's this new covenant. It's a covenant of life. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead so that you could have life. That life is experienced within the framework of this new covenant. It's experienced within the framework of knowing God as your God. Not just the God of this universe, but knowing Him personally and intimately. It's being confident in who you are in Christ. It's knowing that your sins are forgiven. That's life that Jesus Christ has called us to, and I encourage you as a listener to embrace that life, to take hold of it, and allow Christ to live it through you to the full.
That's the message that we proclaim daily here on Basic Gospel, and we hope that you're benefiting and being edified by it. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.